I don't know how y'all do it, but sometimes I do it this way. Most pastors, they'll preach by inspiration. They get inspired. And they'll come to that pulpit, and brother, they are inspired. And then if we're truthful, there are times we preach by observation. We observe things, and a wise shepherd, he'll observe it, and he will preach accordingly. So you have men that get anointed by inspiration, and you have men that get preached, they get anointed by observation. I add one to that. I sometimes get anointed by aggravation. I can preach under inspiration with the anointing, under observation with the anointing, and I can sure get inspired and anointed and whatever it takes when I get aggravated. Hello? And the reason I say that is now read me Jude 1:14.
For there are certain men crept in unawares.
Certain men crept in, slithering, slicking. Hey, bro, how's it go? Even them high fives. I'm one of the boys. They slithered in unawares. What?
Who were before of old ordained to
this. Who were before of old ordained
to this condemnation.
To this condemnation.
Ungodly men.
Ungodly men.
Turning the grace of our Lord into lasciviousness.
Turning the grace of our Lord into lasciviousness, into carnality, into perversion. Lascivious means to be carnal, or to be loose, or to be perverted. They turned the grace of God into perversion and into a looseness. Ready?
And denying the only Lord God.
And they deny the only Lord God.
And our Lord Jesus Christ.
And our Lord Jesus Christ. So it said these guys come in and they take the grace of God and they turn it into something that's carnal. And they turn it into something that's loose. And they turn it into something that's perverted. I was riding down the road the other day and I was listening to the radio. Turned on a little gospel station. Oh, Adrian Rogers, come on. I think that was his name. Denominal World. And he preached about the great, notice, the grace of God. And he started preaching about the grace of God. And the more he preached about the grace of God, and the more he started talking about God don't care. Grace is bigger than you. It don't matter what you do. It don't matter where you go. It don't matter what you wear. It don't matter. He said, and now this is what got me, amen, a little bit, got me a little bit stirred, not bad. And he said, anybody, that in his nice way, I was a little louder there, but he said, anybody that tells you you can't wear this or do this or go here or be that, he said, this man is sick. I said, I don't have no fever. I feel pretty good. I checked the road, went it down, got a fresh sniff air. I said, hey, I'm feeling pretty good. Because I do stuff like that. He said, these people are sick. They ain't right. Don't let nobody, they're leading you off. Don't let nobody stand up and tell you what you can do and what you can't do. Amen. The grace of God covers everything. God, would I take my son and kill him and destroy? You are the sons of God. God's not gonna put you in hell. He's preaching that message, sin ain't gonna put you in hell. We know that's a lie. We know that's a lie. He's preaching away, Brother Bass, and I'm thinking that is just something I don't agree with, and I just reached over and turned him on. Now that just kind of, it didn't aggravate me real bad. It just kind of upset me a little. I don't even listen to that stuff. So somebody sent me a tape from one who said, he is a voice to the Pentecostal movement. And I said, my God, I ought to hear a voice to the Pentecostal movement because I am a Pentecostal movement. I'm moving in a Pentecostal way. I said, this is too good for memory. I got to write this guy down. He said, and I quote, holiness is not a dress code. I said, okay, preach on. Holiness is the nature of God and the being of God and the perfection of God and all of God's attributes. I said, okay. I said, preach on. Holiness is the atmosphere of heaven and everybody is happy. I said, hold on, I'm getting aggravated. He quoted, the reason our folk ain't happy is because we've made holiness a dress code. And quote, and unquote. You can't play putt-putt, and you don't wear cufflinks, and you keep your hair off your ears, and you can't wear mustaches, or sideburns, or short sleeves. And I thought, that ain't all we preach against. Man, you ain't even through the first paragraph. Hey, man, we go way, way, way beyond that. Are you with me now? I'm talking about the real thing, and there is no substitute for the real thing. It just aggravated me. It just got my little old dander up. He said, let me, this is his quote, which was almost verbatim to Adrian Rogers, a Trinitarian individual that wouldn't know truth if truth run over him. A supposedly Pentecostal preacher said, let me tell you about these brain dead nincompoops. They don't know what they're talking about. I said, I am mad because I don't feel I'm a brain dead individual nor a nincompoop. Adrian Rogers said, you're sick. You one God apostolic holiness preachers, something's wrong with you. Now that ain't bad because we don't care what the Philistines say. But it aggravates me when Jeroboam builds Bethel 12 miles from Jerusalem and sets it up so close and tells me a quote unquote voice to the Pentecostal movement tells me that I'm a brain dead nincompoop. I'm going to tell you, honey, I didn't start holiness. I just preach it. It was God who started it, and he ain't no brain dead nincompoop. I go on to quote him and say, the only thing that makes Pentecostals holy is not uncut hair or long dresses. It is the Holy Ghost in you guys. Amen. And the smile and the joy in your life. So basically what he's saying, it don't matter what you wear. It don't matter where you go. It don't matter what you do. Amen. You just tell people, I got the Holy Ghost, and be sure to smile. Get a bar room. I'm a chainsaw. My mom and dad came in Pentecost 1935. And that's as far as I'm going to go with it on that issue. Because I get caught on that, I really get aggravated. The church that my parents came into and I originally moved away from had a wedding. And in that wedding was one of my family members who, quote unquote,
second or third, so they didn't know nothing about truth. But there was a couple backsliders went to that rehearsal. And so they came from a apostolic, one God, Holy Ghost, supposedly church meeting representation there at a wedding shire. And they said that when the pastor left, that we now know this is my cousin's doing it and some of my relations, that when they left, they cranked up the dance music and they started slow dancing. And they just went, and said, hand me something to drink. And they went to drinking beer and mixed drinks. You say in a Baptist church? No, 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 no. I'm talking about, can I tell you, when one God tongue talking apostolic churches revert back to dancing like we came out of, drinking like we, it is heresy! I looked at that. I looked at it and I realized, he said, this guy said, God wants us to look bad so he can look good. And I said, huh? Would you get out the Greek version of that? And would you tell me what you're talking about? God wants me to look bad so he can look good. The last time I figured that he wanted me to come out from the world, he wanted me to be a new creature in Christ Jesus. He wanted me to put the old man away. Well, hallelujah. Now, amen. My, my, my. Now, what? Oh, God. Now, I got re-crank chainsaw. I just feel this way. I don't want nobody defining what holiness is. They always say, now let me tell you what holiness ain't. You just tell me what holiness is. I don't want anybody giving me a definition of holiness, what it is or ain't. That's got a church full of Jezebels. That he can't shut down, or they can't, I'll put it this way, they can't shut down. Don't get up and define to me and tell me as a voice of Pentecost. Amen. That basically, this is what the word of the Lord says. Amen. When the whole church is full of television. Amen. And the whole and they got splits. And honey, it ain't a third way up to their knee. Amen. It's probably, well, praise God. Amen. I'm telling you, it is heresy in the highest form. They got. Well, I know that because I got a relation that goes to some of these churches and they get up there and they got earrings and makeup and cut hair. Amen. You used to pastor some of them dingbats. Amen. And no, you tried to pastor them and you couldn't. Amen. Somebody said, oh, you got to be political and you got to be right. Let me tell you what. When you got Jezebels teaching our kids in Sunday school classes and they got short skirts, tight skirts, everything about them looks like Jezebel. Honey, I don't want that in my kids. I'm trying to get them out of the world. I don't want them to go. It ain't right, Brother Bass. It ain't right. It just ain't right. Amen. Praise God. And the thing about it is, it don't stop there. When your holiness goes, your doctrine goes. Oh, I know. I know. And you watch, I've been around a long time, brother. Amen. And I have seen it go, 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 go. You look at the papers. Amen. The big debate was, shall we ordain in the presbytery, one of the churches, shall we ordain homosexual ministers? Oh, no, no, no. It'll never be in the Pentecostal movement. Why not? They got homosexual musicians. Well, they got funny boys leading the choir. They got funny boys up there. Well, bless God, I feel so happy. I don't care. first things I teach my boys how to walk, how to talk. I don't want them talking with a lisp in their little voice, with a wiggle in their little butts. Amen. I want them to be men for God. You mark it out. They'll be ordaining. This false church will be ordaining homosexual ministers and get up and say, it is the word of the Lord. It's heresy. It's doctrines and beliefs against the teachings of God. Hey man, you may be saying, it makes me, I'm more beyond aggravated. It makes me mad when I ride down the road and I see a sign when I pass through the city, the Pentecostals of Humpty Hump. I want to ride up and say, false advertising. False advertising. I am the Pentecostals representing themselves to the people coming towards God. On their down slippery slope slide into hell. Amen. Telling people, we are the Pentecostals. You want to know what the Pentecostals are? You look right here and you'll see some Pentecostals. You want to know what Pentecostals are? Look about out here. We are the Pentecostals. Now let me tell you this. What worries me about all this is compromise with sin. Compromise with sin enslaves our grandchildren. I'm not changing, Elder. Elder, you ain't gonna change. Ain't gonna change. Elder Mead, we ain't gonna change. I'm not gonna change. I am convinced what is right and what is wrong. Ain't no changing in me. But when we allow this artificial food to be on the shelf, so to speak, right up there with butter, right up there with all these stuff, and say this is it's then all of a sudden our kids are going to come along and they're going to say, yeah, well, it's okay, that's fine, amen, or we just accept that. And then the grandkids come along, and because it's not preached and because it's not pointed out, this is real and this is not real, this is fake and this is phony and this is real. Amen. When we compromise with sin, we enslave our grandchildren. I'm preaching today because I believe it. But I'm also preaching for Jordy Boy. I'm also preaching for Abby Girl. I'm also preaching for Jacob and Jacqueline. That's my grandkids. That when he ever gets to the place of preaching, or they ever get to the place of a pastor's wife, because that's what I train them to do and that's what I plan on them doing. Amen. They'll stand up and say, this is real and that is phony, because my papa said so, because my brother said so. I refuse, brother, to enslave my grandchildren on compromise. Now, Jeroboam moved the landmark. Put it in Dan, put it in Bethel. Told the people, said, this is where it's at. This is where you get salvation. Now, this is where you meet the Lord at. This is where everything's going to be good with you and God. Come to Dan. Come to Bethel. He moved the landmark down there. And in the... Hear me. Let me just read a little bit more. I looked at that, and I realized this is what he did. Now, I'm going to quote again. We're talking about landmarks now. I quote, My Bible tells me one thing. God is looking for somebody who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now you shout over that, honey. Because I believe that's what He's looking for, Elder. He wants somebody to just worship Him in spirit and in truth. But He didn't stop there. He said, right in the same sentence, regardless of the spiritual condition of their lives, the King is looking for a worshiper, quote, He doesn't care if you have made adultery your problem, fornication your problem, pornography your problem, smoking cigarettes your problem, living like a fool. If I can find a worshiper, I can forgive their sins and bring them to the place of repentance. I said, ho! Yeah. He done dragged that all the 12 miles and set it up. The last time I read my Bible, it didn't say to the lost and the dying world and the undone world, just worshiping. When John the Baptist come, he set a landmark in the midst of them. He said, I come preaching, repent. Jesus came along preaching, repent. The Apostle Peter came along on the day of Pentecost and said, the real thing is repent. Ain't nobody got no right to move that landmark. Ain't nobody got a right to take that landmark of repentance that was put there by... Said, who put it there? Honey, turn to Luke 24:46 and you'll find out who put it there. He said that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in Jerusalem. In my name, among all nations. These people have no right to change our landmark. It's what brought us where we are. It's what will keep us to the glory world. I looked at them and I said, oh, my, I don't want to move the landmarks. Had a boy. See, brother, we don't never know what God's doing. Had a boy, I went to my church. He's been out some 8 years, give or take. Out of church. Living in a world of sin. Young boy. He met a woman and married her. And God got to moving. And she got curious about church. And she got curious about living for God. And they got to praying. And they got to crying. And all of a sudden, they got to talking about what's living for God and what's right and what's wrong. And she said, I don't know nothing. I ain't got no idea. They went to one preacher out there and told him. He was talking with him. And said, now listen, when I baptize you, this is a denominational world, so when I baptize you, I want to know what kind of makeup you wear. And she said, well, why do you want to know that? I said, well, when I baptize you, I don't want your makeup to run. So we want to have the right makeup on you. That boy said, that ain't right. He said, I've been back for 8 years. I'm way across the line. But I know where the line's at. He said, what he's saying ain't truth. He said, I'm backslid. I've been out of church 8 years. But he said, I know where truth's at. I know where the line's at. I know where it's preached right. That's one of the three families that come Sunday. Come up to Tennessee. Told me Sunday night after he'd been praying and crying and talking to God and his wife, little wife, don't know nothing about that. I said, I'm coming home. Can I tell you? I'd stand in judgment before the Almighty God if somewhere along here I'd move the line. I'd have said, this landmark ain't really where we ought to be, boys. Let's come over here. That boy knew what the landmark was, and he said, if I'm going to get right with God, I'm coming back to the landmark. You hear me? The lost world knows that out there ain't the answer. It is in the church where the real church is and the landmark is. Brother, we can't afford. Church, we can't afford to move our landmarks. Amen. Amen. I'm almost through. Amen. I hope I still have friends. Everybody my friend? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, if you ain't, I ain't got this much further than I'll ruin it anyway. If it doesn't ruin it, I'll ruin it anyway. Amen. Now, have you noticed in the advertisements how that they put a slander upon, you read an advertisement that said, ooh, butter is bad for you. Don't eat butter. You'll get cholesterol. Hello? Now, if you eat a gallon, yeah, you'd probably get all greased up. But a little dab of butter ain't gonna hurt you. Yeah, you swig 3 pounds of it, you better go call the mortician. Because you on the road. This is bad for you. Milk is bad for you. This is bad for you. Everything that's good for you is bad for you. Everything, and they slant it to when they go up to the shelf. They don't reach for butter. They reach for, I can't believe it's not butter. Because they've been brainwashed. Butter is bad for you. Well, and their concept is, butter ain't no good for me. It is the villain. It's what's going to ruin my life. It's what's going to totally destroy me. I am sick and tired of allowing a whoever and a whatever to paint good, one God. Let me tell you something. I may be a little raw this morning and a little whatever. But I'm going to tell you, our men that stand up in these pulpits, amen, they ain't Draculas. Just because you preach against sin doesn't make you a weirdo. I can preach. I'm preaching about what's right and wrong with the love of God. Amen. In every breath. Can I tell you, you can be a one God holiness preacher and still love people. I care for people. I pray for people. I am not, they don't serve me, elder. I serve them. Come on. I'm tired, brother, of just somehow they castigate us. They put us in a place because we get up and we preach against things. They go, ooh, ooh. Some of y'all out here, I see some of your faces out of, honey, don't me. I'm preaching on something that'll make you alive. I ain't preaching on nothing that'll kill you. It's these liars and these reprobates that's up here feathering and watering it down. Good holiness preaching don't kill nobody. It saves them. And I ain't a devil because I preach it. We got them. So you realize this. Holiness preachers ain't the problem. We got fellas with enticing words of man's wisdom. Preach for 4 days and never mention sin. Preach for a week, a whole Bible study series, and never tell nobody Elder Mead what it takes to be saved and what's right and what's wrong. Political correct. I don't believe you have to get. I don't. My people will tell you, hey man, I don't preach on standards. I don't preach when I. It's a remote thing. I just kind of keep it. Just keep it on the burner. Just keep it going. Hey man. But I'm gonna tell you what. I looked at this. And I realize they're taking us and they're putting us in a place of where, amen, we almost want to get up and preach enticing words of man's wisdom. And we're afraid to preach because if we preach against sin, we'll run people off. Hogwash! That's junk! That's hogwash! I'm going to tell you what, I probably need to get a few little more refinements in my preaching. But honey, when we resort to just enticing words and man's wisdom and don't, as Paul said, preach the whole counsel of God, we're missing it. I'm almost through. I believe, and this is Brother Picklesheimer preaching today, talking about the calling of God. Amen. I believe what we need is God called men. Now, who are responsible to God. Who are not puppets. Who have a voice. And they preach with authority. Or they have authority. I said that's what we need. For some of you that was hard hearing, had your hearing aid turned off, I'm preaching about God-called men who are responsible to God, not puppets, that's got a voice and got a little backbone and authority in their life. Now, here we go again. This is another individual. The question was asked this man. I'm talking about God-called preachers that obey the voice of God and preach what thus saith the word of the Lord. Just pull your finger down from there. Put it in a book. Don't put it in the air. Put it in a book. This garbage has got to go. I'm at a holiness meeting, so I'm going to preach holiness. I'm at a liberal meeting, so I'm going to please you and I'm going to preach liberal. Get your finger out of the air and get it in the book. The question was asked, with society and culture changing so rapidly, what are your deepest concerns with respect to the church? And he was politically correct in what he said, but what he said was right. Now I'm going to tell you what he said, and then I'll probably add a little to it. It said, so, it gives him time to think. To answer your question, one of the things I am most concerned about is the church, God's people, becoming desensitized to the sinfulness or the sinful and godless behavior that is becoming common in our culture. What he meant to say there was becoming common in our churches. The desensitized are the people that are not sensitive to the sinful and godless behavior that is becoming common in our, and I say, churches. And then he goes on to say Christianity, but here he really meant preachers. The preacher's silence on the subject of sin is deafening. What he's saying is, they see it going down the tube. But for whatever, personal reasons, whatever, monetary reasons, they choose to remain silent. And he said this sinful, ungodful stuff that's going through Pentecost, so to speak. He said what is so deafening is the silence of men on what is sin and what is not sin. I don't get nervous when they preach about television. Come on. I don't don't start squirming in my seat and getting a little broke out a little sweat on my forehead when they start preaching against video. I don't get nervous and upset and want to go to the bathroom when they preach against the internet. What makes me nervous and what makes me wiggle and what makes me get a sweat is when they don't preach about it. When they don't preach about sin. And when they don't preach about these things, I get nervous. I want to get up and get out of there because I'm realizing I'm in the wrong church. This ain't the real. This is artificial. This is substitute. Come back to me. Now, notice. One writer in the same article, they asked him the question. And his answer, amen, and they was talking about revival. He said, history proves that popular opinion is not always the right one. I don't know how you brethren feel, but I don't give a flying flip at a rolling donut what people think about holiness preaching. It's right. I just don't care. I'm not worried about aligning my message, amen, with what people think, how they feel, who's going to disfellowship me, who ain't going to disfellowship me. Amen. Come on now. This man said, popular opinion is not always the right one. When we are speaking of doctrine and what is required for a person to make heaven, he said, I say that we had better have an opinion. And that opinion had better be founded on the Word of God. And he said, revival without repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and receiving the Holy Ghost with the initial evidence of speaking in other tongues is not true revival. I don't know about you, but I want true revival. I want somehow. Well, hallelujah. Anybody want true revival in this place? Now, I didn't quote the first part of that, but the first part of it, and I'm going to finish my little whatever you want to call it. He said the shame of it, this man, the shame of it is when the voices of the multitudes or the men in popular and high places override the voices or the opinions of men that are down here. In other words, this group speaks for everybody. Doesn't matter. He put it in that deal. Now, let me just close with this. Get me 2 Timothy 3. Now, I believe, amen, that when the people in Dan and Bethel, amen, came to a situation of what needed to be done, what didn't need to be done, all they got was, well, if the Holy Ghost leads you in that direction, you just do it. Whatever the Holy Ghost leads you to do, you just do it. And I'm going to tell you, part of the fivefold ministry is the pastor. Are you with me? And when we hear preachers get up and say, I'm preaching about a God that just, he doesn't know no demand, and he just lets you do what you want. Wherever you want to go, whatever you want to do, the Holy Ghost leads you there, go. If it don't lead you there, don't go. Can I tell you, you need to go back to painting cars. Or you need to go back to peddling fuller brushes. Because God's got a man in the pulpit. And you showed me anywhere, he said one place, I sought for a man. I sought for a man. you show me a place anything was ever turned around in the scripture, it was because a man came preaching the word of the Lord. David didn't get turned around until Nathan stuck his bony finger in his place and said, "Thou art the man." Nineveh didn't get their answer until a man walked through and said, "God's going to do this." And they believed him for what he said. He didn't preach, "Come away, y'all can do whatever you want, but I'm going to tell you, for me and my house, we're going to go down to Sonny's and get some barbecue." Everybody say with me, authority. Amen. Now, I know everybody pastors different, but I believe you need to pastor with authority. I lost a whole bunch there. Because now it's like, oh, you don't love people. Oh, yeah. When my grandkids get going running towards the road, I don't say with a sweet little voice, "Happy baby, baby booby, Jordy boy, come on back here. That semi might hurt you." Come on, come on. With authority, I say to Abby, "Don't stop." My wife and I were years ago. We don't do it now. We're too old for it. We babysitted the lady in the church, and the girl just got married the other day in the church and living for God. And the little girl was about 2 years old at the time. And parents nowadays say, "Mommy don't like that, and Mommy don't like this, and Daddy don't like that." We babysit them, we blister their bottoms. If I'm going to babysit them, they ain't going to run and tear up my stuff. And so Mom kind of, with love and all the kindness that Mama knows how to do, she corrected and got this little girl, and then to the point of where she obeyed her. She said, "Come here." She came there. She said, "Stop." She stopped. One day, we lived on a main road, and there was a semi. That old semi was out there. He come from downtown, and he was going, was about in about 12th gear and bringing it on. And that little girl ran towards the road, rose bushes, and I can't think of the woman's name, the next door neighbor, and she had flowers and rose bushes, and that little girl was running towards that road, and the road was there, and the semi was there, and she went, and my wife said, "Stop, Kimberly!" And she went, and the semi went, "Row." I'm going to tell you what, brother. Pastor any way you want. Coddle them any way you want. My philosophy is love them. Love them. Love them. And don't lie to them. Love them. Care for them. Preach the word. If they tell you they're going to leave, then say, "Well, leave, but I'm going to preach the word to you anyway." Because it's you that's going to stop them from getting run over by sin in the world. And if anybody's going to save them, it's going to be you and me who preach the word with authority. Okay, I'm about to. I don't know what time it is. Don't have a watch.
All scripture is given by inspiration of God.
All scripture. All scripture. Don't go through the Bible, pick it up. "Well, I can't preach that so-and-so leave church." Preach it. Preach it with love. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Read.
And is profitable for doctrine.
And it is profitable. Profitable. It'll help them. For doctrine.
For reproof.
For reproof.
For correction.
For correction.
For instruction in righteousness.
For instruction in righteousness. What is right and what is wrong. God didn't put you there to collect their tithes, to buy a new home, get a new car. God put you there to tell them what thus saith the word of the Lord. And He wants you to enforce what you preach. Yeah. Hallelujah. Read the next one.
I'm almost through.
I charge thee. Therefore, before God.
Therefore, before God.
And the Lord Jesus Christ.
Uh-huh.
Who shall judge the quick and the dead at
His
appearing?
Who's going to be the final saying? Who is what is right, what is wrong, what is real, what is false, what is the real thing, and what is counterfeit? God's going to judge it.
Yeah. What? Preach the word.
Preach the word. Yeah. Preach the word. Yeah. Somebody, is anybody still with me on that? Preach thee! word. Be what?
Be instant in season.
Be instant in season.
Out of season.
Out of season.
Reprove.
Reprove.
Rebuke.
Rebuke.
Exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine.
Preachers are afraid to reprove people. Because their kid's going to college and they ain't wanting to lose that college money. They don't want to go back to work. And so they're a little afraid. They do like Tiny Tim, tiptoe through the tulips. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Brother Picklesheimer knows what I'm talking about. Just preach the word. Reprove. Rebuke. Just preach the word. Reprove. Rebuke. If it's wrong, tell it. But he said, when you do it how?
Exhort with all long suffering.
With all long suffering. Take them as far as you can take them. Love them. Just do whatever you can. The thing of it, this new couple that's coming in, these new people, honey, they're not going to hear no strange doctrine. They're going to hear it just like it is. But I'm going to have my arm around them when I do it. I'm going to be crying on their shoulders when I do it. I'm going to be praying with them when I do it. They're going to be at my house eating dinner. They're going to be at the church. Our people are wrapping their arms around them. Amen. I want them in church. But they're going to hear the real thing. They're going to hear what it takes. It's going to be with long suffering. It's going to be with love. So he said, when you do this, he said, I want you to do it with long suffering. Read.
For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine.
Tell somebody near, that's the day we're living in. Hey, some of you in here that walk out and leave me right now, if you could, wouldn't look obvious. Not a bunch, but some. Because some of you ain't smiled the whole stinking time I've been preaching. Butter ain't bad, honey. It's that, read that label and I can't believe it's not butter. When you get done, you'll say, I don't believe it's butter either. Sound doctrine. Just preach sound doctrine. Amen. What'll do it? I found out sound doctrine. Sound is something that's established. It works. Amen. I found out what got me out of sin was preaching. Amen. Acts 2:38 message. That's sound doctrine. Is that it?
But after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers.
They don't want sound doctrine. They're going to heap to themselves teachers.
Having itching ears.
Now let me explain that to you, the way I look at it. Having itching ears is this. Amen. Them ears want to hear. When a preacher gets up to preach, he wants to hear things. You go, brother. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Clap them hands. And so if you ain't careful, you go looking for messages to get them going. Woo! But you hit one about the blood. And about sacrifice. And about rebellion and obedience. And obeying the Lord. And all of a sudden they start doing this. My Jesus. I can't see all that long. My ears are itching. Said, I don't want to preach that much because my ears are itching. I want to hear other things. And so they heap to themselves preachers or people that will get in there and amen them. Amen. I don't give whatever if they never shout on Acts 2:38. It's truth. It doesn't matter if they never shout on the holiness message. It's truth. When I preach against rebellion and all that, they may fold their arms. But you hear me. It's sound doctrine. It's what they need to hear. My little ending of my little message to you saints of God in here that have these good preachers. Amen. Don't you fold your arms on them. Don't you sit down on them. Don't you leave them high and dry. You become a son unto them. A daughter unto them. You get behind your man of God. And when he preaches about salvation, you may have heard it for a year or 2 years. But you get up. Whoa. You get up and go to shouting because that sinner ain't never heard it. You get behind your man of God. You amen him. You pray for him. You pay your tithes regularly. Just remain standing. There's one little old scripture that I think will go good. Whether you're a preacher, whether you're a saint, whether you live for God a week, a month, or a year. It's an Old Testament scripture. And it's very simple. It just simply says, buy the truth. Get like old Naboth the Jezreelite. Trade me out of it. Talk me out of it. Give me something better. He said, ain't nothing better. Ain't nothing better than this, Brother Patrick. I don't care what comes or goes. I want my last message to be a Jesus name, one God, tongue, talking, Holy Ghost, salvation, straight as an arrow message. Just preachers, buy the truth and sell it not. Saints of God, just buy the truth. Turn to your neighbor and say, buy the truth and sell it not. Clap your hands to the Lord.
Come on, you can do better than that.